Welcome to Coaching Kids Curling, a podcast for youth curling coaches and program organizers. I'm Glenn Gabriel, a certified curling coach and coach developer who lives in Pickering, Ontario, Canada. My mission is to give you the advice, resources, and inspiration you need to make your program better. Not many curling clubs are open during the summer, but Oakville Curling Club will be running a youth camp in August. In this episode, I speak with the camp director and previous guest to the show, Stephanie Thompson. Many sports run camps for kids during the summer vacation, but it's rare for curling. Oakville Curling Club, just west of Toronto, will be running its youth camp in late August. In this episode, I speak with camp director Stephanie Thompson about the camp itself and what she hopes to accomplish this summer. We'll also talk about camps in general and what kids can get out of this experience. Well, Steph, you're in charge of the Summer on Ice Youth Curling Camp at Oakville Curling Club this summer. Maybe we should start with the basics. Could you tell us where is the camp, when is it, and how much it is?
Okay, great questions. The Summer on Ice 2023 Curling Camp is going to happen at the Oakville Curling Club in Ontario. And it's going to be happening from Monday, August 21st to Friday, August 25th. And it's a kind of 9 to 4, 9 to 3 camp. So it's a day camp where we are going to have some athletes from outside of Canada coming to this event, but mostly kind of local athletes because it's a day camp. So you're going to have to come find accommodations. And then I get a ride to and from camp, and it is a curling camp. So we are going to have access to ice, the wonderful Oakville Curling Club ice. I'm very excited about that. They're well set up for summer ice, and their ice is always fantastic. So it's really exciting to get out there and also work at a curling camp. I'm really excited to be in charge this year. I'm the director of this camp. So
that's your formal title now?
The official title is the director, and I'm going to have an assistant director, which is my husband, Matt, which is kind of exciting because he's the assistant.
Awesome. Well, there you go. You've worked together before, obviously. So yeah. Oakville Curling Club, just for the listeners who might not be listening from Ontario, Oakville is just a bit west of Toronto. I'd say, what, like 30 minutes west of Toronto?
Yeah, yep. I'm definitely not the person to ask about directions, but that sounds accurate, yes.
Okay. It's a five-day camp, and it's for youth. Now, the website says it's for kids between the ages of 7 and 16, which is a pretty wide range. And it says it's no previous experience is required. So you could, I guess, theoretically have someone that's brand new, and then someone who has multiple years, maybe even competitive experience. For someone who's never been to the camp, like, are the kids arranged in groups? Like, how is that organized?
Yeah, so the camp is organized into three groups. We've got the beginner, the intermediate, and the advanced group. So depending on how many athletes we've got, which the camp is almost full. So if you're listening to this and this sounds interesting, you're going to want to head over to that link and sign up ASAP. But it's kind of neat that we've organized it in a way that it is going to cater to a wide variety of skill levels. A lot of the times these summer camps want to focus on the element of fun, and especially with youth athletes and youth camps, we want to make sure that they're enjoying themselves. They get to learn the game, they get to become a little bit better, which improves their self-confidence and a whole whackload of other things, but they also get to learn about the sport in a fun way and kind of break up their summer. So it is quite broad, but you are organized into groups based on age and ability, so that when you're learning a skill, so we've got a bunch of different skills that we work on throughout the 5 days. When you're learning a skill, it's appropriate for your level. And the coach to athlete ratio, I believe, is one athlete for every coach. One athlete for every coach.
Wow, I was going to say one to one is amazing.
One instructor per every 8 campers. So you're getting a pretty good ratio of coach to athlete. So even if you are super beginner or even on the other end of the spectrum and you feel like you're very advanced, they're going to be able to give kind of the general lesson for the day and then those individual points and coaching tips specific for you depending on what you need. So the nice thing is that a lot of these coaches have worked at camps before. They've gone to camps themselves. So they understand that we've got the general information and then we're giving you your individual individual help as well. And in a very supportive environment as well. These coaches, I've worked with plenty of them over the years, like they want to make you the best curler that you can be from where you're at now. And they want you to enjoy yourself. So it's from a place of support and encouragement.
It's 5 days. I mean, it sounds like a lot, but it's 5 days. I take it you go through like the whole, all the typical basic things like delivery, sweeping, strategy. Like, can you go over a bit about the curriculum and some of the curling related subjects you'll be going over?
Yeah. So from Monday to Friday, you've got about 5 sessions a day, and it's going to be a mix of being on the ice and a mix of being off the ice. So on the ice, when you're on the ice, you get a chance to work on things from your delivery. So practicing and understanding the setup, the balance, how to improve your line of delivery, and how to hold the rock and how to let go of the rock, giving it the right number of turns. So kind of going back to your very first question, if you are in the beginner group, to be honest, athletes at every single level, whether they're 7 or 18, it's a really good reminder to come back to the basics of making sure you're getting all the finer points of the delivery. So even if you know how to curl, learning how to curl is helpful. For people like myself when you were younger going, I want to work at a camp. Now you're storing that information away for future, and you're able to kind of do some troubleshooting with yourself, but then at the same time, you can help out your teammates if they're struggling as well. So we've got time on the ice will include looking at your delivery in the kind of order that I just described. Then we've got sessions where we're looking at sweeping or brushing, I like to call it. So a lot of athletes are diving deep into wanting to sweep really hard and be the best in the world and kind of take over those. Like if you think about it, Joanne Courtney's gone, Brad Thiessen's gone. Who's going to be the next best men's and women's sweepers out there? This is where it starts. So we look at things like the purpose of sweeping. So making sure that you understand why you're sweeping, so you know when to sweep. The body position that's right for you and your body. That's something that I like to bring to my coaching experiences, is it's just not just this is open and this is closed, but this is why your body's going to do really well in this position, and this is why your body's going to do really well in that one. We look at communication and weight judging as well, because it's not just about can you sweep. Like I used to be the athlete that could put my head down and gun it and just sweep, 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 sweep. But then I would sweep it through the house. Like that's useless. That's not helpful. So we need to also have the ability to be a smart sweeper. So learning how to time rocks, learning how to judge the rocks and communicate with your teammates what's happening during the shot and then what happened after the shot as well. Those are all skills that make you a really awesome brusher and a really big asset to your team, and also make it a lot more fun when you're making lots of shots. And then, of course, we're looking at the shot progression. So actually throwing some shots. You're taking the delivery, you're taking the brushing, and then we're looking at the shot progression. So starting with lighter weights, so draws and guards, and then depending on your level, we progress to heavier weights. So that could look at like learning how to throw a hit, or that could look like throwing peels. And then there's the finesse lightweight shots, which could be your like taps or your hit and rolls. Hey, those kind of like more like doubles, you know, doubles curling type shots, nice and finesse lightweight, and then shifting to those finesse heavyweight shots. So I'm not going to say that we're going to teach you how to do like the big run back quadruple beat the buzzer cooey shots, but we're definitely going to work on getting the skills so that you can get to that space depending on your level. So that's on the ice, your delivery, your sweeping, and then the different types of shots. And then off the ice, so these are things we can cover on the ice as well, but off the ice, this is where we're giving our body a break in the summer. August, you probably haven't curled a lot. We don't really want to be on the ice for 12 hours. We need to come off and take a break and kind of warm up a little bit. So this is what we will be looking at, learning the game progression. So again, new curlers, this is going to be really helpful to kind of teach you about the game without you freezing out on the ice, so that you know where you need to be and the stuff that you need to do. So learning the game progression, we've got etiquette, big part of curling, player roles and where to stand. This is important whether it's your first day or your 50th curling game. Again, touching on communication just as a general team, managing the different paths. That's a skill that all players on the team can benefit from understanding, especially the more advanced athletes. How to measure rocks, how to score, how to time. A lot of people don't understand how to use that stopwatch to their advantage. And then, of course, we're actually going to get to play a few games. I think that that's really beneficial for when we're, especially at the younger age, they want to get out there and play. They want to play games. We've also going to spend some time on team communication strategy, tactics, fitness. And then there's always the, I think this is one of the reasons why Ian Tetley called me up, was he wanted to make sure that we had fun icebreakers. We talked about teamwork, lots of little fun games to make the week enjoyable. Aside from, of course, getting a chance to be on the ice, but really underlining that fun at all levels.
Just to interject, Ian is the manager of the Oakville Curling Club.
Yeah, Ian Tetley is the manager of the Oakville Curling Club right now. So he'd be one of the people you might be in contact with if you're emailing that I've got a question part as well. That's also who I'm going to refer to for a lot of these questions, because full disclosure, this is my first year running this specific camp. But I started going to camps. Actually, the Oakville Curling Camp was the first camp that I can remember actually going to.
Wow.
So I grew up 2 hours east of Oakville, and I remember I have this vivid memory of being there. And I don't know, I was wearing a purple shirt, and you had to do an icebreaker that started with your name. And I think I was Stephanie Skittles or something. Like the things that stick in your brain. But yeah, since then, I've actually gone to the Trillium Curling Camp. I think myself, I went 5 times plus once to Amethyst. No, five times, including Amethyst. And then I've worked there since every single year since 2011.
Wow.
So that's a lot of years of camp, working my way through the assistants, through the athletes, the assistants, the coach. Yeah.
I'd love to explore, you know, maybe after we talk about the Oakville camp specifically, we can have a broader discussion about your experience at camps and, you know, how that may influence even how you're running the Oakville camp. But I'm sure that all those experiences and what you found fun and productive about those moments will influence how you run this camp. So,
yeah, I
want to go back, though, a little bit to the Oakville thing. You went through the whole I think you went through the whole curriculum. I mean, that's a lot for 5 days. And I mean, it's impossible to do everything. But I wanted to focus on one specific thing, which was the fitness aspect of it. Of course, you have a business called Empowered Performance, and that is your core business. It's fitness. And you are known as someone who specializes in fitness for curlers as well, which is, you know, your wheelhouse, really. But I also appreciated the fact that you said it had to be fun, no matter what part of the curriculum you're talking about. So, you know, this is coaching kids curling. So. Yeah. It's my long-winded way of asking, you know, how can you make fitness fun? And this is summertime, right? They want to play. It's 30 degrees outside. It must be a challenge implementing fitness into a camp.
Right. Well, we're going to sneak it in with fun games, of course. but the neat thing about, okay, so if you're kind of brand new to curling, you're in the beginner side of things. We're really mostly focusing on your ability to kind of do warm-ups and cool-downs. So you're in that, I can't remember what level of the long-term athlete development that is.
Oh, fundamentals. I'm coming up with them right off the top of my head. Yeah. Learn it's to train.
Yeah, you're literally the fundamentals. So we want you playing. We want you doing activities. We want you to play, do sports, get outside. If you love dance, do dance. Those are the kinds of things. Like, we really encourage. I'm saying we, but collectively, my understanding is a lot of the coaches in Canada and worldwide just want their athletes to have fun and do activities. So, in terms of curling specific, we'd be emphasizing more of the warm up and the cool down. And then just maybe making sure that they understand that being active is important and it's going to help them become a better curler. The fact that there's so much curling on TV now makes it so much easier to show off how fit these athletes are. So the ones that are going to have a little bit more of that drive to be the best, you can be fun. You can have fun and want to be the best as well. But seeing it kind of on that spectrum, they're going to be paying attention to the stuff that's a little bit more beyond the warm-ups and the cool downs. So we as a collective can make warm-ups and cool downs fun as well. Like, it can be little, especially Oakville, great big open space inside and outside. We could be doing warm-up games, tossing a ball, little follow the leader, little dance. You watch some of the juniors at nationals and they've got little dance routines. Like, those are the kind of the things that you could do with your athletes, if I'm talking to kind of the collective coaching here, and stuff that you might see at our camp, depending on what myself and the other coaches kind of come up with. But then beyond that, we're looking at, you're shifting into that learn to train stage, which is basically making sure that the athletes have the basic movement patterns. This is my understanding. This is how I interpret it. So being able to get in, and they can do this all body weight if that's what they're comfortable with, getting into squats, understanding how to hinge, getting into a lunge, being able to hold a plank, doing some push-ups, maybe try a row or a chin-up or something, like your basic movements. And I have a lot of resources that I'm going to end up, if this is something that the camp as a whole wants to have, is making sure that they're, if the kids, that the athletes that they're working with want more specific for curling. First of all, healthy, active humans make healthy, active athletes, and healthy, active athletes make healthy and high performance curlers. So, like, really just move and those main movement patterns and get a little cardio in, and maybe do some dry land brushing at home. Like, those things are going to take them to the next level. And then that advanced group, that kind of U18 level, they're in the train to train, maybe even train to compete stage of the LTAD. So from there, we do have a little bit more of an emphasis on that importance of exercise, a little bit more of a specific warm up, maybe for them, depending on the position that they like to play. Like, a skip doesn't necessarily need the exact same warm-up as the person who's going to sweep that first rock. But we do need to make sure that we're preparing the mind and the body for throwing rocks and using the brain and communicating and being in a really good mood for the game. So in terms of, like, paying attention to it, it's going to be more of something that's, like, snuck in there, pointed out. I know that if they happen to be working with me or working with me and they've got, like, they're struggling to balance, or they're struggling to create power, or when they're throwing, they're a little bit offline and they can't really figure it out, I could do some tests on the backboards, be like, you know what, maybe we try this exercise to kind of get the right muscles working so that this is easier for you. Or they're trying to sweep and they're like, this is really difficult to hold my body weight up. Well, here's a list of exercises that might make that a little bit easier for you to kind of basically use being off the ice to make you stronger and fitter so that being on the ice is a little bit easier. Well, which is basically what my business does.
Yeah, absolutely. And they have in you a great resource. And I think they should consider themselves lucky to have you. Maybe not even directly at the camp, but, you know, afterward. They know who you are now. So they can... Yeah, there you go. It's a positive. So anytime we can think about fitness for kids and getting the habits ingrained early, I think that's a great thing.
And it is so cool to see, especially when I've worked at, like, Trillium and Amethyst, I've done a lot of the phys ed, which means I've seen pretty much every single kid that comes through some of those camps. There were some years I did both week A and B, so I did both weeks. So, like, watching, like, provincials and nationals, and I'm looking at names, and I'm like, oh, I don't know. They're doing so great. Like you come work with me and you end up getting like a cheerleader for life. Like I'm like so good. I'm like way back in 2012, like I worked with this student, like this athlete. And they're like, I don't even remember who you are anymore, but you know how it is as a coach. You're like, oh, so wonderful to see them playing and doing well and enjoying themselves.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of coaches, obviously it's you and your husband, Matt. Now, you may not have the exact people that are going to coach. Maybe you do, but what kind of coaches are we talking about? You said people with competitive experience, possibly people who are, I don't know, certified coaches. Like, who are the types of people that will be teaching the kids?
Yeah, to be honest, I don't have a full list for you. I mean, Matt also is he's contingent on his work allowing him to take that time off. So, I mean, maybe putting it in a podcast makes it a thing. So, the leadership for the camp though is screened to ensure that they have the ability to teach the sport of curling in a fun and relevant manner. And the instructors bring many years of their own competitive and recreational curling teaching, coaching, and many of them are certified. So the ones that are in charge of the groups, those are going to have certification. And their program is kind of set in stone. So what I kind of read off or spoke about earlier that wasn't off the top of my head. That was a nice little list that I made to make sure I had all the information. There is a beautiful curriculum that the coaches are going to follow. So we're picking people that can pick that up and go delivery, beginner. They know exactly what the key kind of rocks are for that level versus if they were doing the delivery, but they're in the advanced group. So the coaches are going to have experience at camp. And if they either haven't been to a camp themselves, they've definitely coached in some manner, and will be paired up in a way that they're if they need some assistance as being a part of a camp setting is going to make that a lot easier of a transition for them. We want more coaches camping, more coaches working at camps.
Right, right.
Coaches start camping in the backyard.
I was going to say there
In
are
the backfield.
tents, you know. I think the only thing I'd recommend, and I know this is just my two cents, is it's a youth camp, right? It's a summer youth camp. My only suggestion, take it what it's worth, is whoever's teaching the kids, you'd prefer to have someone who's actually taught kids, right?
Nah, yeah.
Right, or at least worked with them,
That is a really
because
good point. Yeah.
as speaking as a coach who's worked with all kinds of age ranges, from adults to kids, juniors, teens, working with kids specifically is its own animal, and you'd prefer to have some experience at it than none. That I'll throw that out there into the ether and do with it what you will. So.
Yeah, no, 100%. I'm like emphatically nodding. Like obviously those listening can't see that. I'm like, yeah, 100%. They're gonna be, I think the adult coach would be more shocked than anything once they realize the, especially if they got like that's that age, like the 7-year-old, like 7, 8, 9 end of things. Like your 18-year-old is pretty close to being an adult, but they're not still. Like we still want that fun. We still want like a really specific kind of organization. But yeah, it would be a huge shock for a coach to be put in. And I am aware that they are making sure that the right people are being put with the right age groups.
Amazing, amazing. I'm going to ask you a couple of just basic questions about the camp, and then we've talked a bit pre-podcast about this, and talk maybe after we talk about the basics of Oakville, maybe we could expand this discussion into, the benefits of camp generally, and what you've seen, and even I've seen as a result of camps, and what kids take out of it. But to get back to the Oakville camp, maybe the end of the discussion is, according to the website, it's $350 for the week plus HST. So that's the cost. There are 48 kids, I think you're taking in total. But there are still some spots left, so that's just a plug to go if you're interested or want more information. Stephanie, how can they find out more about the camp if they want more information?
I'm assuming, do you have show notes there?
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll
Oh,
put the
yeah.
link in the show notes, but
Okay.
if you Google the Oakville Curling Club, and youth curling, youth summer camp, those are Oakville Curling Club, so youth summer camp. those six words should give you the link to it. It's kind of like a complicated like backslash dot PHP, like question mark, all those kind of things. So if you give it a little bit of a Google, that's where you're going to find it. If you follow me on Instagram, you might have found it already because I shared the information a couple of times. So yeah, but OakvilleCurlingClub.com and also Google the youth summer camp and that should hook you up. I think it's on one of their main pages though. I can't remember how I got to it myself, but it should be pretty available. They want people to be coming there, so they need to make it easy.
Oh, for certain. And I just checked the Oakville Curling Club website today, and it's on their front page, at least if you scroll down and you just click on the link and it'll give you more information. So I'll have that information in our show notes and probably as well in Stephanie's Instagram handle, so you can find it there as well. So that's that. You're the director. Well, congratulations. This is your first time leading a camp, as you've said.
I'm actually working at the Trillium camp 2 weeks earlier.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I'm like going to watch the director of the Trillium curling camp very closely.
That's a good idea.
Get some extra tips on making sure I run a really, really well-organized and respectful space. So like the fun part I'm not worried about, but making sure, you know, we keep everybody in line. That's the part that I'm excited to practice because I feel like I normally just get to be like, here you go. The director, but yeah.
I want people to get a better idea of what goes on at the camp because, you know, if people are on the fence thinking about, you know, registering, maybe there's a kid that's listening to this or a parent and is thinking, you know, this sounds great for my kid, but, you know, they're going into this environment where they might not know anybody. This is brand new. This is like curling camp. I don't know. What would you tell them? Like, how would you sell them on the idea of making the leap and going to this camp?
Like a curling camp in general?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man. I mean, I think the allure of a camp like Oakville would be a great place to start. Like I said, this is the first camp that I went to as well. Because a day camp, you get to go back to your parent or guardian at night. Right? You get some absolute time to yourself. So a camp like a day camp would be a great place to start because you get the 9 to 5 curling. You get the sample of what it's like to make new friends, learn things from coaches, be vulnerable and learn something new, try something new, focus on curling all day long, which is really fun. But then go back to your own space at night and your hotel room or your Airbnb or your friend's place, wherever you decided to, or maybe your own home if you're local. But you get that time alone with yourself. So a day camp, I think, is a wonderful place to start if you're tentative, because you know you're guaranteed to get your own time and space near people that you can kind of talk to and really relate to at home. That next step, and of course, you don't have to do it this way. I know plenty of people that go straight to the Trillium Curling Camp, for example, which is an overnight camp. But it is a bit different. It might be for a lot of athletes, especially in our intermediate groups there. They've never been to a camp before. They've never been away from their parents for more than a weekend. And it's a 4 or 5 night venture. So it's something that it builds independence, builds some resiliency. You get a chance to really lean into kind of the community that the curling camp is, which is what we try to build. For the Trillium camp, for example, has you're in a group and you're with that group all week long. So very similar to the Oakville camp, you're going to be put in a group. You get to make new friends, meet the coaches and understand and learn to trust the coaches. So if you have any questions, any concerns, something happens, then you have that kind of adult to lean on and help you out with that. So it's I've worked with a lot of the intermediate levels. So like that's our reds and our blues at Trillium, or the beginners, here at Oakville, but yeah, it's a big shift for a lot of people who've never, especially if you kind of lived through the COVID years and you maybe haven't done a lot of away from home. So I think that it's a big part of growing and developing your own self-confidence, and getting a chance to kind of step out of your comfort zone. And a lot of the athletes, I have yet to have an athlete that personally who's wanted to go home after a day, because it's so much fun. We get to talk about something you really enjoy. Like, what a better time to hang out and talk about curling than in the middle of August. It's 30 degrees out. But there's a whack ton of benefits of camps in general, but like those ones, if someone was tentative to not to go, I think a day camp is a great place to start if you're super tentative. But then I think I trust the curling community and the coaches that these camps are pulling in, and like the type of people that a curler is, that you're going to find your group, you're going to find some support, you're going to have some fun. That's the beauty of curling. And I've always loved, like, as I said, I worked at the camp since 2011. And I went to the camps when I was younger, and there was just something about getting to go hang out with other curlers for an entire week, obviously I love it so much that I made it my career to work with curlers. But curlers are just, I'd say 99% of curlers are friendly and supportive, and they want to know who you are, and they want to talk about curling, and they can't wait to play with you, and they can't wait to play against you. Like, what other sport does that? So I'm rambling a bit, but that's kind of from my perspective, is that if you get a chance to go to a curling camp, you're kind of getting kind of enveloped into the curling community, which is a huge part about being a curler.
And that's a great word you just used, enveloped. You're absolutely right. I mean, you're sort of like, it's your introduction to the community in a lot of mm-hmm. ways. But it's not an understatement to say that. I mean, maybe more Trillium than the day camp, but you see these friendships developing, you see competitive teams forming, like, because, you know, they might not have enough competitive curlers or want people who want to be competitive in that area. And then they all gather together and it's like, oh, you want to play in regions or whatever, you want to play in Bondspiels and, or the junior tour. And like, oh, I finally found my people. Like, so let's form something together. I'm not saying this out of turn, right, Stephanie? This actually happens, and you've seen it, right? Oh,
100%. 100%. I found my skip in juniors and my lead. Wait, no, I was the lead. The second. Yeah, I think I found my whole junior team that I played with for like 8 years, 6 years, something like that. At the Trillium Curling Camp. I mean, camps are great. That's where I met my husband. Like.
Yeah, let's not bury the lead here, Stephanie. That's pretty important. I'm sure we can get into a whole other discussion about that. But yes, like friendships and relationships happen,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like it's just naturally.
Well, I was a coach at that point, so nobody. And I'm talking. We're talking.
right. Let's be clear. Let's be clear.
But yeah. No, 100%. I think you're right. It is a great opportunity. Like, let's say you're someone who really likes curling, and your curling club doesn't have a lot of juniors that want to compete. It's a great way to get introduced to other curlers. And like, I think curlers are so great. Like, you don't go to curling camp and like, nobody's sitting alone. Like, everybody's hanging out together. Everybody wants to be on everybody's team. Like, it's a pretty great space to, that was my experience. I, of course, will take, understand not everyone had that experience, but I'm definitely definitely not weird. So I'm saying curlers are great for that. So.
Well, Stephanie, thanks for talking to me tonight. Obviously this is your first time as the director of your own camp. I think I know you, you've probably written down some goals and some things you want to accomplish by the end of that 1 week, by the 25th, like, what do you want a kid to get out of this experience?
Oh, that's a really good question. Well, I would, I mean, number one, I want them to go home and be excited about either the next time they get to go curling, the next time they get to see that group of friends, and or the next time they get to come back to that camp. That would be how I'd want an athlete to kind of leave. I want them to be eager to apply the stuff that they've learned, and then to kind of dive into the next curling season and then hopefully expand their, I mean, I obviously love curling camps, expand their kind of experience. There's plenty of camps across Ontario, Canada, the States. There's camps for adults. Like, there's camps for, you can go to camps forever. So I think that that would be really exciting. I want them to enjoy themselves and just be eager and excited to see those people again, apply their knowledge, and tell everybody about the time that they had.
I think that's a perfect way to end it there because, yeah, anytime they're excited to tell their story to someone else, it may attract another person to attend the camp, you know, next year.
Yeah. And it just kind of like, if you're thinking about longevity in sport too, like we want the 7-year-old to come back for the next 7 years to that camp. We want the 13-year-old who might was kind of maybe thinking of quitting after this season. We want them to keep coming back. Like, we want those athletes to kind of keep playing, whether it's in their clubs, their home clubs, whether it's at their schools, or whether it's competing on the provincial, national, and world stage. So there is that kind of like looking to keep people in this sport and making sure that they have the tools to find where they land and where they find the most enjoyment as well.
Yeah. It's, you could say that like that's long-term curler development. I know the document was called Curling for Life. So like,
yeah,
sort of the exact description of that. So
I love that. You've done your homework. That's so good.
I'm a curling nerd, Stephanie. I know all these documents. So
the only thing that kills me about that document is that the photos are so old.
Fair.
They're so old.
And
like, they got like, I don't know who they have. It was somebody who was like in their 50s now, and they've got the photo of them in the like trainee to compete stage, and that's like them in their 20s. I'm like, can we get new pictures? Like, I know who these people are, but like half the other athlete, anybody who's 20 is gonna be like, who is that?
and this might be an aside, and if I edit this, you'll never know, but I do remember an episode of your podcast where you go over the long-term curler development model and talk about its strengths and weaknesses. So I'll post the link in our show notes. So no model's perfect, and things are always adapted. So
100. I just felt that people didn't know how to use it and how to interpret it for what I think it was designed for. Like, I think that it was a great list, but then the application part, I think what got lost. So I mean, 100%. I did that episode with Terry Weeks, who's a big proponent of camps as well. And her and I, dive through that. But like, I'm sure we would even edit that episode. Like, that was a year and a half ago. You know what I mean? Like,
it's
just interesting how the more you coach and the more you're out there, like how you might kind of shift your perspectives. And like, health and wellness and movement in the strength and wellness kind of realm has gone through huge strides since that document was made. So, I mean, I'm not saying that I've got the funding. If someone wants to fund me and I'll redo that document, I would. it definitely would be ready for an update. If anybody's looking at any of my programs, I'll make sure that Glenn has my off-season menu if you want some sort of fitness program of sorts. But I actually, I have a learn to train program, a high school level program, and then something called like the ultimate off-season training program. These are fitness programs. But in there at the bottom, you'll see that I have actually taken the LTAD level phase that is appropriate with this program and actually described what kind of things in this program are going to align with that goal. So it helps people when they're not sure kind of which program's right for them, but also making sure that they're not jumping ahead, right? Like, I don't need a 13-year-old doing my program that's designed for someone in the training to compete stage because they don't even know how to work out yet.
One more thing. You have some virtual workshops that you have as part of the World Curling Federation's World Curling Academy.
Yeah, it's a big mouthful.
I got it out there. Could you describe a bit about that and when those are going online?
Yeah. So they're already online. They're already available. I'll make sure that Glenn has the link. And so I'm running the virtual fitness workshops through the World Curling Academy, which is the academy version of the World Curling Federation, which is really exciting. So like, you know, five years ago, Steph would be really pumped. But basically what these are, they're workshops. So I've run the past 4 years, I've ran a web series where I kind of dove down the rabbit hole of how to train specifically for curling. So this year I'm running one full season training webinar. That's May 28th. But then with the WCA, I'm running three different workshops. So I want these to be more of a interactive learning experience where you're doing activities, kind of testing and retesting and taking away tips that you can specifically use for yourself versus sitting and listening and like taking information and maybe not applying it because you just heard it once and you were like, eh, it's not really that interesting. So there's three of them. There are three workshops. You do not have to show up live. So if the time is not appropriate for you, then, or you've got something else going on because it's on a weekend, then you can of course catch the recording. I believe the recording is going to be available for a month after the presentation. So you'll be able to access those for a month, as many times as you want, even if you go live. So there's three of them, one on June 11th, one on June 25th, and one on July 9th. They're all at 1 p.m. Eastern, which is, I believe, 1900 world standard time. It's in the link. I'll make sure it's up there. So the very first one's going to be the better brushing workshop. So we're looking at, okay, I want to become a better brusher. It's the off ice season. What kind of exercises and drills can I do to make it so that when I step on the ice in the fall, I can make all those technique adjustments that my coach wants me to make. So if you're struggling to kind of hold your body over the brush, there are things that you can do when you're strength training at home, regardless of level. So this is appropriate even if you're kind of like that 7-year-old and you want to become a better brusher, or you're a 7-year-old and you want to become a better brusher. I think that it's appropriate for either. The second one is going to be about balance and using balance to improve things like your power and to improve your accuracy and to improve your weight control. So kind of all encompassing kind of that mobility, stability at the hips, and making sure that you've got a really efficient delivery so that you could be as effective as possible and creating and controlling your power out of the hack a lot easier. So again, off ice exercises that are going to make those adjustments easier in the fall. And then the final one, I always kind of put breathing and cardio first, because it doesn't matter if you can get in the best brushing position, but if you can't do it for a whole game, again, like you're missing out. And if you don't have the endurance to kick out of the hack a bunch of times on the weekend. But the breathing one is cardio for curling. So we're looking at, can you breathe efficiently? How to use the breathing to kind of make a really strong core, how to train in the off-ice season so that you can build what I call a really big engine, give yourself more gears and recover really quickly between shots. But then also that kind of element of your mental, not necessarily your mental health. I'm not a mental health practitioner, but like your mental skills, so your ability to focus, have good memory, all those things tie into how you're breathing. So that third webinar is kind of everything to do with breathing so that you can be a really good athlete. It's kind of tying in both the physical and the mental. So that's June 11th, 25th, and July 9th. And they're only $15 US. Nice and affordable, I hope. And I think they're going to be a lot of fun. The way that I'm going to do it is I'm going to set it up so that I've got one device that's got everybody in the workshop that's okay with having their video on so that I can see them. But then I'm going to record on a separate device so that on the recording, people can't see you doing your stuff. So it gives a little bit of a privacy piece as well. And I do that with all of my group workouts, because I just find that like I don't want someone on a recording to watch me kind of struggling. but I don't mind the coach seeing and giving me some feedback. So I'm really excited to have that kind of setup where I'm going to be able to kind of see and in real time help people out versus just me sitting there talking to my little icon in the corner and then watching people like on their phones and stuff. So yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
So that was my interview with Stephanie. If you're a supporter of this podcast, I encourage you to follow our Twitter account, which is the @ followed by Kids Curling. One more time, the @ followed by Kids Curling. I'll also have that Twitter handle listed in today's show notes. This has been the Coaching Kids Curling Podcast. To reach me, Coach Glenn, please email coachingkidscurling@gmail.com. To follow the podcast for free, visit our website, coachingkidscurling.com. You can also find show notes and links to the resources mentioned in this episode and in previous episodes. The intro and outro music is Golden Sunrise by Josh Woodward. Thanks for listening. Good luck and good curling.